It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you all to know that America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you. I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people. And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
It's a Wednesday afternoon here in St. Louis, and I can't help but notice it just feels year after year after year on September 11th that the day looks just like today, that the sky is blue, and it just feels like one of those perfect days, which is what was one of the most eerie things I think about September 11th of 2001. 23 years ago. It's pretty amazing to think that we are 23 years removed from that day. I was talking to my husband about it, and he is a middle school history teacher, and he made the comment, he's like, he prefaced it with, as an educator, it's very frustrating that as a history teacher, as somebody who's teaching American history and American government, it's very frustrating that the debate is on September 10th and September 11th, especially in the classroom. There's an absolute obligation to reflect. But at this point, it really is a day to educate about what happened on September 11th. I think it's an interesting place to be because there are a lot of people of formative ages. When you're talking about September 11th being 23 years ago, we talk about remembering. Our poll today on the Annie Fry YouTube channel is, do you do something intentional to remember September 11th, 2001? Do you look at your clock here when it was about, 7:46 a.m., I think is off the top of my head, when one of the planes hit? There's those timestamps that walk you through the day that pull you back into that moment and quickly make you remember what you were feeling, which was fear. We were feeling the reality of fear in a way that we don't traditionally feel real fear. And going back to what my husband said, he's, you know, has an educator. It was a frustrating bummer for him that he was going to have to figure out how in his classroom do you do, you got 45, 50 minutes with these kids. Like, how do you do September 11th and debate reaction? And, you know, for every teacher in a classroom today making that decision, I know that a lot of them might be torn one way or the other in a history classroom, but you just can't skip over September 11th. You can't miss that moment to talk about what it is that we are facing as a nation 23 years after what we remember. We are now into oral history education with generations of people who don't remember. You know, have you forgotten? Well, you can't forget something that you didn't see for yourself. You can learn it. You can embrace it. You can study it. And, you know, I think that's one of the things about September 11th for me. I can listen to George W. Bush say, "I can hear you." And that still feels a certain way for me. There's a lot of context that happens in 23 years surrounding the man standing on the rubble with the bullhorn next to the firefighters that can pull us away from the feeling of that moment. And I think, you know, here in my little classroom that we have, not certainly in my husband's, I have no idea what he's going to do in his classroom, but in my classroom, I don't have to shy away from the politics of the moment today. It's actually, I feel, a responsibility of mine to talk about what took place last night as the United States still stands strong, but maybe not as strong as you and I might like it to be. 23 years after we feared the actual safety and security in our home, on our homeland, that was attacked that day in multiple places. I have a newfound reflection, a newfound understanding of what took place on September 11th, because this year I was able to, in May with my son's eighth grade class, and then I went back on July 4th to Washington, D.C. So I was able to walk through the Pentagon Memorial, the 9/11 Memorial there. And you can see, I mean, there's simple things that make the reality of the day that we watched on our television screens and we saw in the clear blue skies here, even in St. Louis, Missouri, an airplaneless, crystal clear blue sky. And you just kept looking up. And my recollection, maybe this was yours, but I remember looking up and thinking, like, it's so weird not to see any planes. But then also looking up just in case I saw a plane. And had I seen a plane in the middle of the day on September 11th, after the three locations had been attacked, I think that plane would have been a frightening thing to see. And then when the plane started flying again, once air travel got back up and moving, you just looked at the sky differently. To wake up and look at the sky differently. We have lived through something like that. And we're raising a generation who is going to rely on us to talk about that event and the impact that it had on our life. Now, where do the politics come in? Last night, we saw two people fighting, playing tug of war over where our republic goes next. I think about what took place in September 11th. I think about when we hear about Russia collusion and all of these outward interferences and what's going on in our homeland. And there's just something about the United States that is perpetually under attack and it needs to be perpetually defended. Sometimes it feels like those attacks are coming from within. Definitely, it regularly feels like if we let our guard down, those attacks will come from outside and work their way in. And we have to have our guard up. And you got to ask yourself a question. Like, if you are going to feel like you need to be on a constant defense, you do have to pause and ask yourself what you're defending. And when I think about raising my kids, and they'll talk about it at school, one of the reasons why I'm so glad that they are able to be raised in Lutheran schools is because I have no question about how this topic is going to be handled in the classroom. None whatsoever. But they're going to come home and they're going to ask me. They do every year. And they get this sense of emotion about it that I know has been gleaned from somewhere else. It's not a first person experience like it is for you and me. I was 17. I was a senior in high school when this was going down. And every time I talk about my presence as a 17-year-old, I was as old as you could be as a child and as young as you could be as an adult, which is a very, as you recall, confusing place to be. You've got all these ideas and all of this independence oozing out of your body. And it's like the dog that catches the car. Once you get this independence, you're kind of like looking around going, is somebody going to help me out here? Am I really on my own? You know, you're pushing for it, and then you get there, and you're like, oh, man, it was maybe a little more comfortable on the other side of that line. And September 11th, for me, for my classmates, for so many of my peers who graduated high school that year and then decided to join the service in what was wartime. Yeah, they happen to be millennials. And I think that they've kind of stuck the landing on how they've managed themselves over the course of the last 20 years. But we all walked away from that day in the September 12th, which a lot of people talk about September 12th, like the unifying day that was September 12th. You saw red, white, and blue. There wasn't red. There wasn't blue. It was all of a sudden like, I don't got time for that. The thing that unites us in the United States of America is our ability to have differences and still be on the same side. There is not a cultural place on the face of Earth that is like America is in that regard. Think about how much American history is. American history, In the course of time that we have recorded history, American history basically starts yesterday. It's so fresh. It's so new. We are still such a young nation. Talk about European history. Talk about the history of the Middle East. It's biblical. Talk about Russian history and Eastern history. And you think about how much we know about dynasties and empires and how all of this over the course of millennia has come to be where we are in 2024, the culture of those countries is forever. And that is something that if you're from those places, that is part of you. You respect that history. You understand it. You know the highs. You know the lows. You get it. But Americans don't have what other nations have. And in such a modern way, we get to constantly remake what our modern history is. And when I think back on September 11th, I think about a really, really truly unifying understanding that when the rubber meets the road, there's really only one thing that matters, and that's protecting our right to exist in a free country that we determine the direction and the pathway of tomorrow. We do have things in our history that when we reflect back on them, we go, that was not our best. In fact, some of that is our worst. But because America has always looked at what happens tomorrow, you get to, as an American, reflect on a nation that took one of the oldest practices of time, slavery, and said, no more. And there were people who said, no, we're going to keep doing this. We're going to continue doing this. And we're going to say we're going to do this under the guise of states' rights. We're going to continue doing this. We need to continue doing this. It's what's best for our economy. And a man who pushed against the entire establishment, a man who showed up and said, we cannot stand united as a country, divided this way. It will all fall apart if we continue down this path. And you know what? It's the only thing that matters. We have to fight for freedom in a way that in the 1800s, feels a little bit different than in 2001 when we were being attacked from the outside. But we still decided to do it. And our American history puts us in a position where we willingly shed our own blood to stop something that we knew was wrong. And good won out. That's what freedom is. That's what America is. Reflecting on American history doesn't mean pretending that the bad stuff doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that you pretend that the bad people didn't exist or the bad practices doesn't exist. But if you look back on American history, for some reason, eventually we get it right. For some reason, even in the midst of the most hopeless turmoil, in our very short history, we figure out a way to get it right. And to bring it up to modern day, to bring it up to September 10th, 2024, I'm watching this debate last night. And when I left that debate, I'm going to shorten this. We're going to get into more reflection on this, especially in the 1 o'clock hour with Roy Murdoch and Tommy Lahren. But I walked away from that debate last night thinking nothing changed, which is really kind of quite something. How you felt about the Democrat candidate, lover or hater, that's how you walked away from it. How you felt about the Republican candidate, love or hate him, that's the way you felt about that. However you feel about ABC News, you walked away with the same affection or disaffection that you walked into that. And nothing has changed. And I think that we're a pretty divided country right now. And to suggest that this is new in American history, even as short as American history has been, we have been a divided nation many times. And we have figured out ways to come together by choosing to do the right thing, by choosing to defend freedom, even in the midst of context that changes over the course of time. And I don't really think that this is going to be different. People who walked away from the debate last night feeling defensive, it's okay to have those feelings. If you felt like it was unfair, it's okay to have those feelings. If you felt like your candidate nailed it and hit a home run and you're joyful about it, it's okay to have those feelings. But you got to remember one thing, that this is actually all about you. It's not about him. It's not about her. It's not about ABC. It's about you. And whatever sort of swelling of pride that you have on September 11th, that's for love of a country that's worth fighting for. That's for love of a country and an idea of an existence of something that is real, it's tangible, it's palpable. And in the midst of great conflict and great challenge, America has always found the opportunity to rise to the occasion, to meet that moment. And this one's not different. I'm actually kind of amused by some of the sensationalism I've heard and with pundits on cable news, with talk radio today, like people just pulling their hair out over what happened last night. I'm here to remind you that as much as I want you to listen to 15 hours of the Annie Fry Show every week, there are about 46 stories that are going to happen between now and next week that are going to make this debate one way or the other yesterday's news. But the fight still exists. And I actually think that having September 10th debate and September 11th smack everybody around and make them come back too, to realize that moment that you felt a very clear understanding of how much you loved the United States of America, that's what today is about. It's not just about sadness. It's not just about reflecting on the moments where you watch the planes hit because you really want to remember. And as soon as you see it, you're like, yes, I am there. Right back to where we started. The importance of remembering what happened is to remember your reactionary feeling and to harness that once again and to be able to share that story with other people. That's resolve. And we have that as a country. And Republicans have that in this country. And Democrats have this same feeling in this country. And the people who decide to harness everything between now and Election Day and beyond to that love of country will have peace because they have clarity. The goal is clear, and it's to protect America. I'm going to play this clip for you before we head out. And I wanted to take the first segment of this show and make sure that I really acknowledge the moment of the day. This is from 2020. It's a quick clip from Donald Trump. And it's when he was still the president of the United States, talking about September 11th.
Today we pay tribute to their sacrifice, and we mourn deeply for the nearly 3,000 precious and beautiful souls who were taken from us on September 11th, 2001.
And you see by the dawn's early light.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Pray for the one. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us on this September 11th afternoon. We can talk more about Brad and Ryan, your September 11th experiences. I think in the 2 o'clock hour, we do this every year, yeah. Some reflection. I think it's important to talk about. But I do also want to talk about the debate. So Ben Shapiro reacted to what happened last night, and he basically says everything I want to say, but in about a fourth of the time.
I was going to say, but faster.
Yeah, so here, let's listen to it.
She was fairly obnoxious. She lied a lot. She said a lot of things that were untrue. She was never called on any of that. The big takeaway is going to be the continued destruction of the legacy media on behalf of the Democratic Party. The legacy media have decided, full scale, they are now apparatchiks of the Democratic Party. They are so far up Kamala Harris's ass that they're doing active colonoscopies with their eyeballs. It's unbelievable watching David Muir ask questions to Donald Trump like, why are you so bad and orange and mean? And then turning to Kamala Harris and saying, and why is he so bad and orange and mean? It's absolutely insipid and totally insane. The media tonight were beyond the worst expectations that I had for them. I thought that they were going to do like a baseline creditable job because CNN did. Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, they actually did that in the last debate. They actually asked questions and let people answer them. David Muir became an active participant in this debate. Lindsay Davis became an active participant in the debate. And then they never once fact-checked Kamala Harris, who lied over and over and over. She lied. She said, for example, that Donald Trump was a backer of Project 2025. A lie. She said that Donald Trump said there were very fine people on both sides of the Charlottesville riots, including the neo-Nazis. That is a lie. It's been debunked repeatedly. They did not say that that was a lie. She said that he had said that he was going to unleash a bloodbath on the country if he lost. That's a full-scale lie. They never fact-checked a single thing that she did the entire night. And actually, that helps Trump.
So there's Ben Shapiro, like I said, succinctly, quickly nailing all of the necessary points. Ben Shapiro, well done. I just take it away. I don't want to ask you a specific question that boxes you in. What do you want to say about the debate?
Last night going home from Dave and Buster's at our live event, I was kind of putting my thoughts together about what I felt happened. I was in the same category as you, where I felt like nothing really happened. I don't think the needle's going to move a whole lot. But I got home, and my wife was still awake, surprisingly. Usually she's asleep by then. And I said, hey, did you catch any of it?
What'd you think?
And now keep in mind, my wife is an English teacher. She does teach some electives like debate, you know, so she kind of watches these things a little bit more critically. We think of it politically. She's watching it more stylistic and communicative because that's what she teaches. And she said, well, what do you think? I said, no.
You first.
I want to hear what you, I don't want to taint
anything.
I'm
asking the questions here.
Yeah. I want to hear your unbiased take on anything you watch. And she said she watched maybe a half of it to a third of it or something like that. And the first thing she said was, I don't know who was those debate moderators were. And again, she's taught this subject. And she said, I don't understand why, and there are a number of ways you could do this, why they would constantly kind of ask follow-up questions of Trump and not ask follow-up questions of Harris. And she's rather apolitical, although I think she's probably more conservative now because she's married to me. But she just questioned the way the whole thing came out.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, I'm glad I didn't ask or tell you my opinion first, because that was such a good take from somebody who was not watching it to try to figure out who she's voting for.
What do Americans want the most? Americans want fairness.
Yeah.
Because if it's not a fair fight, who do you cheer for? The underdog. Mm-hmm. Always. And it's funny to me, you know, the underdog doesn't really like go out and keep telling you they're the underdog. If you have to be saying you're the underdog, you're not the underdog. Like, everybody knows who the underdog, who the David is to the Goliath. And the truth of the matter is, there's not been a day in Donald Trump's political career where he hasn't been the underdog. Because he's got to go into that debate last night, and it's 3-on-1. I saw a comment, it might have been on our YouTube chat here, and if it is, credit where credit is due to the commenter who said it. I don't know if it was that or on Twitter. But last night was a little bit 4-on-1. Donald Trump got in his own way a few times, but it was definitely downstream from the totally predictable ridiculousness of what your wife pointed out, which is the fair playing field. It wasn't a fair playing field. I don't know why Donald Trump would ever go onto an ABC debate and expect it to be a fair playing field, but I want to point one really important thing out. David Muir and Lindsay Davis are not the moderators that Donald Trump's going in going, oh, we got good ones. They're not. ABC is entirely not. Will Scharf on our show this week was pointing out that Donald Trump is currently suing ABC for defamation in a case that Will Scharf commented that he believes that they're going to be victorious in because ABC is not fair to Donald Trump. Here's what you need to know about the debate last night. Donald Trump has repeatedly said anywhere, anytime, any rules, any stipulations. And before you go, oh, no, they were bickering back and forth about the rules. He agreed to Joe Biden's rules that Kamala Harris got all whiny about and wanted to change. Donald Trump answers the call no matter how difficult it is, no matter how challenging it is, no matter how unfair it is. Instead of spending all of his time whining about trying to make the case like, oh, they're not being fair to me, he shows up to every fight, to every playground bully, and also complains there about it being unfair, but he shows up to the fight. Kamala Harris has shown up to two, and both times she had support. One in Tim Walz, one in the moderators from ABC. Kamala Harris cannot hang in tough situations. And if she could, she would do a debate that was agreeable to Americans as more fair. I think if you look at the ratings of the cable networks, yes, we're a Fox News Radio affiliate station. Every once in a while, I like to remind you that I have never gotten a dollar in my career from any entity that it is Fox News. But if they're interested, you know how to find me. When I am on a Fox News Radio affiliate station, I am paid by Odyssey. Odyssey is my employer. I say what I want. Nobody puts words in my mouth. I've never had anyone take words out of my mouth. I'm here to say whatever I feel. I am objectively telling you right now that the majority of Americans are watching Fox News for some reason. You would think that if you wanted to reach the most people, those people are seeking out Fox News for whatever reason it is to begin with, that you would do a debate with Fox News. And if Kamala Harris wants to be the president of the United States, Fox News cannot be too frightening for her. It's as simple as that. Donald Trump shows up with every single roadblock in front of him, and he still debates. And if you were in that situation, and here's the truth. We have all been in a situation where you walked in and you're like, I am walking into my own hose job here. You know that the deck is stacked against you. It might be athletically. You might be going into an athletic event, and you know that the refs are never fair. The court is a goofy size, or the field isn't the way it's supposed to be. It's uneven, or whatever it might be.
The wind's blowing a certain direction, and you're going to be going that way the whole game.
Yeah, like things that could be fixed, things that couldn't be fixed. But the world is out to get you today, and you can do one of two things. You can show up and give it your best shot, or you can go home. Nobody wants to get behind the person who goes home because that person is a loser. An agreed upon loser. Losers make excuses. People who are winners show up. And Donald Trump shows up for the American people in the face of every single adversity every time he's given the opportunity. He went out onto the floor last night after the debate to go talk to the spin room and the press. Kamala Harris would never, ever, ever, ever.
She was in the corner getting toweled off and getting some water.
No kidding. She would never find herself in, because it's a scary situation. She could screw up. Donald Trump is a fighter for you. Donald Trump knows what he needs to do. And if you've ever been in a situation, probably on a smaller scale, but still very important to you, where everything has been stacked up against you and you still had to go fight for yourself, fight for what you felt was right. Yeah, you'd be pissed off too. Yeah, you'd be angry. And the fact that Donald Trump goes in knowing what he's getting himself into, and people are like, oh, he took the bait. He's getting angry. She's getting under his skin. Well, you're gosh darn right. I challenge you to take the type of bullets that the man has taken himself. Maybe he wasn't as pristine and perfect as you would like your very polished politician to be. But may I introduce you to Donald Trump? He's been successful without having to be that way. Maybe in some cases he's been unsuccessful, but he is who he is. He doesn't need a week in a hotel room to be polished up to memorize a script in order to make sure that you can deliver the lines as they come. That's not who he is. That's why I like him. I think that's why a lot of people like him. Donald Trump is a fighter. He always has been. He's always going to be. And if you think for a second that if you were in that position, you wouldn't be mad as hell as well. You're not paying enough attention. You don't know what they're doing to this man. They literally shot him. He brought it up last night, and ABC cut him off and never brought up the fact that there was an assassination attempt that grazed the head of Donald Trump. And I have seen people on social media talking about how it barely hit him. This is where the FCC comes in and tells me what I can't say. Brad, do you want to talk about the debate now or do you want to talk about it later? What do you want to do?
I can do either one. I mean, the one thing that
Give me the preface and we'll double back on it later.
I had one thing locked and loaded that I really wanted to mention, and it was about how the moderators handled it. And I hate whenever the moderators are the story and not the debate. And the problem is we looked at CNN, we watched CNN do their debate, and the moderators were like the Homer Simpson meme where they just kind of faded back into the bushes. They weren't the story. They were so much not the story that people complained that they didn't interrupt anybody enough. David Muir, the one thing that really stuck out at me was they asked Trump about, did he lose the election? He said he did it. He said that comment, yeah, I lost by election. It was sarcastically. Muir's response, fact check, was, well, it didn't look like it was sarcasm to me.
I didn't sense sarcasm.
Yeah, that's not a fact check. That is your opinion, and that has no place in a moderated debate. It has no place in there.
The more offensive part about that is what he said next. He goes, well, Kamala, he seems to not have a problem, you know, in so many words. He fact checks Trump, gives his own opinion, and then pivots over to Kamala Harris and is like, well, it seems as though Donald Trump. It's like Donald Trump could be like, I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hello. Unmute my mic, which they didn't at the beginning when Kamala was clapping back as well. Yeah. Let's talk more about it throughout the course of the show. Tommy Lahren, She's got some critical things to say about Donald Trump at 125. I'm going to get something positive out of her. That's my goal at 125. Stick around for that. Droy Murdoch next in the 1 o'clock hour. But before that, Ryan Wiggins.
I want to teach you to be a man.
This says six signs your coworkers don't like you, but I don't think that that's
no. That's correct. That's an old one.
That's an old one. You're really pushing the six signs.
If I was still on that, I'd be a little concerned. Now, I'm going to teach everybody, including Annie, how to be a better man.
I might be the better man.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
All right, men. We're going to see how you're doing and also make you better at what you're doing. Unspoken rules for men is what we have here. Now, this is a topic that I have researched in the past and found some really good ones.
How to be a better man?
Yeah, how to be a better man. And most of the time, I just take these home.
Better man.
That is...
Better man.
Oh, can't find a better man. That is Pearl Jam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it called Better Man or is it called Jeremy or something?
Well, those are different songs.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know that... I didn't know that they were both Pearl Jam
songs. They have one called Better Man. They have one called Daughter.
It's called Better Man.
Full spectrum. So,
like today, you could be bold.
From before, the last couple that we had, just a reminder, we told you last time, this was probably a month or two ago, dress well no matter what the occasion, always carry cash.
Are you just giving us the list?
Yeah, this is from last time, just a recap of the last one.
Dress well, carry cash.
Never pose with alcohol. Remember talking about that one?
Yeah, I think it's a smart move.
Proper grammar will get you far in life. Leave the foul language.
Where will country grammar get you?
St. Louis.
Okay.
You can go outside of St. Louis with it, but you'll always be famous here if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell a great deal about a person by their handshake, so make yours strong and firm.
Yeah.
That's what we said last time. A few for you this time.
How, on a scale of 0 to 10, what do you rate your handshake?
Oh, a 10.
Okay. You ever shaking hands with yourself?
Yeah, all the time. I practice in the mirror. Okay. It's hard because I keep hitting my knuckles on it. Ow! Ah, there it is again, every morning. it was such a bad joke that it caught you off guard. Yeah, it did. Yes, it did. All right, number one. Never shake a hand sitting down.
Yeah, you should stand up.
Mm-hmm. You got to stand up. I forget this. There are times that
you probably did that 72 times last night.
I know. I'm just sitting there. Somebody comes and says hello. I'm like, hey.
You don't even have to stand all the way up.
Yeah, you just a little bit. Just some respect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were saying hello so much last night, and we were sitting doing the live stream.
Thank you to everybody who came out to the sold out Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
It's so fun to do those.
Fun is that there are some people who come to the majority of the events we come to, and then some who it's their first one every time. And it's just fun to meet everybody. So don't shake a hand sitting down. If somebody does this to you, though, are you offended?
It depends. Is it you?
Yes.
Yeah, then yeah.
Okay, good to know.
Probably, it depends. Are you just, I mean, if you're truly in the middle of something, not really. I like a little lean.
I do too. I'm not saying I don't like it, but I'm not offended. Here's the thing. If I do it, I'm not trying to show disrespect to anybody. I may be in the middle of something like we were last night, but I also try very hard to look the person in the eye and acknowledge them, which I think is the most important thing, that you're not just flippantly like, hey, you know. All right, number two. Never insult the cooking when you're the guest.
Maybe just never insult the cooking. Yeah. If you ain't cooking it.
Yeah.
It seems like a pretty obvious one.
Let's say, if you ain't cooking it, you are the guest.
Let's determine when it is appropriate to insult the cooking.
Mm-hmm. What if it's so bad
that she's getting really out of line?
You can't help it. You're trying really hard and you're like, this is terrible, but you keep forcing it down. And then you just throw it up.
My husband. Okay.
You can't hide it.
You could not eat it.
Well, you're
not regurgitated.
Well, that'd be an insult. I think the bigger insult would be when you threw it up.
You just have to learn how to cut it up and move it around your plate like it looks like you made a dent.
Ooh, that's an art.
I'm full.
That's an art. Kids learn that real early.
Yeah. Knocks them on the floor, hope there's a dog.
Mm-hmm. Never eat the last piece of something you didn't buy.
Definitely.
Brad?
It has to be Midwest offered to you about 7 times. No, it's okay. It's all right. No, really, you eat it.
What if there's nobody to offer it? Let's say you're
Are you sitting by yourself.
Let's say you're walking through the kitchen at Odyssey St. Louis, and there's a cake or a pizza.
That doesn't matter.
It's there. It's the last piece.
If you're in line, you don't eat it.
No, there's no line. It's just there.
No, that's free food.
Okay, good.
That's
because I do that
free for all food. People put it out there. They know that you'll finish it off.
Right. Oh,
man, there's one donut left. I'm grabbing that donut.
If you're sitting at a table and you got four people, six people there, and someone buys an appetizer for the table, you don't take the last one. Unless you bought it.
I agree. Well, yeah, if you bought it.
As soon as someone takes the second to last one, you snatch that thing up so fast.
This one, some of these are kind of funny. This one I think is very important. Take the blame and give the credit when it's due.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, taking the blame.
That is being a man.
That's being a man.
A good person, yeah. But definitely being a man.
That's something that is the exact opposite of your instinct. If somebody blames me for something that I feel like it wasn't really my fault, but maybe I was associated with it somehow, I've had to learn as an adult to say, I'll take responsibility, regardless of whether it was really my fault or not. Just be the one to say, all right, cool, I got it, I'll deal with it.
And it's the hardest thing to do.
It
has never gotten any easier to do it.
No. Here, and my instinct still is to defend myself, and I've had to get to the point where I just go, it's all right, just let it go. But then giving credit where credit is due is important, too. I think working on a team, which we do, you have to do that. You have to do it all the time. Annie?
Do you have the next question? Do you have next question done for Friday?
Oh, man. I almost wish comedically I could tell you no and then dance around it, but it is.
You have it done?
It's ready.
I'm proud of you.
Even yesterday when we were talking about it, I actually had half of it done.
You are really great at what you do when publicly shamed for not doing it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I thought yesterday it was
credit where credit is due.
It was more comedic to act like I hadn't done anything,
Ryan,
but I actually had done some. Look, I'll take the blame.
I never asked you if you had started it. I asked you if you had finished
it. No, I had not finished it yet.
It was a week and a half delinquent.
In my defense, you said it once on a Friday, and I didn't remember, and I thought you had forgotten also.
Take the blame.
You were hoping that I'd forgotten.
You're right. I need to stop defending.
Yeah,
hey,
no,
you know what? I'll take responsibility.
You literally had an idea at 12:50 p.m. yesterday that you executed at my expense at 2:38.
Yeah, that went really well. I'll take the credit for that.
Shush. Jory Murdoch next.
All right, men. We're going to see how you're doing and also make you better at what you're doing. Unspoken rules for men is what we have here. Now, this is a topic that I have researched in the past and found some really good ones.
How to be a better man.
Yeah, how to be a better man. And most of the time, I just take these home.
Better man.
That is
a better man.
Oh, can't find a better man. That is Pearl Jam.
Is it called Better Man or is it called Jeremy or something?
Well, those are different songs.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know that. I didn't know that they were both Pearl Jam songs.
They have one called Better Man. They have one called Daughter.
It's called Better Man.
Full spectrum. So.
Like today? You could be both.
From before, the last couple that we had, just a reminder. We told you last time, this was probably a month or two ago. Dress well, no matter what the occasion. Always carry cash.
Are you just giving us the list?
Yeah, this is from last time.
Oh.
Just a recap of the last one.
Dress well, carry cash.
Never pose with alcohol. Remember talking about that one?
Yeah, I think it's a smart move.
Proper grammar will get you far in life. Leave the foul language.
Where will country grammar get you?
St. Louis.
Okay. You can
You can go outside of St. Louis with it, but you'll always be famous here if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell a great deal about a person by their handshake, so make yours strong and firm.
Yeah.
That's what we said last time. A few for you this time.
How, on a scale of 0 to 10, what do you rate your handshake?
Oh, a 10.
Okay. You ever shaking hands with yourself?
Yeah, all the time. I practice in the mirror. Okay. It's hard because I keep hitting my knuckles on it. Ow! Ah, there it is again, every morning. It was such a bad joke that it caught you off guard. Yeah, it did. Yes, it did. All right, number one. Never shake a hand sitting down.
Yeah, you should stand up.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stand up. I forget this. There are times that somebody
You probably did that 72 times last night.
I know. I'm just sitting there. Somebody comes and says hello. I'm like, hey.
You don't even have to stand all the way up.
Yeah, you just a little bit. Just some respect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were saying hello so much last night, and we were sitting doing the live stream. So
thank you to everybody who came out to the sold out Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
It's so fun to do those.
It's you know what's people. Fun is that there are some people who come to the majority of the events we come to, and then some who it's their first one every time. And they it's just fun to meet everybody. So don't shake a hand sitting down. If somebody does this to you, though, are you offended?
It depends. Is it you?
Yes.
Yeah, then yeah.
Okay, good to know.
Probably, it depends. Are you just, I mean, if you're truly in the middle of something, not really. I like a little lean.
I do too. I'm not saying I don't like it, but I'm not offended. Here's the thing. If I do it, I'm not trying to show disrespect to anybody. I may be in the middle of something like we were last night, but I also try very hard to look the person in the eye and acknowledge them, which I think is the most important thing, that you're not just flippantly like, hey, you know. All right, number two, never insult the cooking when you're the guest.
Maybe just never insult the cooking. Yeah. If you ain't cooking it.
Yeah.
It seems like a pretty obvious
let's
one.
Say, if you ain't cooking it, you are the guest.
Let's determine when it is appropriate to insult the cooking.
Mm-hmm. What if it's so bad
that
you
she's getting really
can't,
out of line?
You can't, yeah, you can't help it. You're trying really hard and you're like, this is terrible, but you keep forcing it down and then you just throw it up.
My husband, okay.
That how what do you, you can't hide it.
You could not eat it.
Well, you're not
to gonna, not regurgitate it.
Well, that'd be an insult. I think the bigger insult would be when you threw it up.
You just have to learn how to cut it up and move it around your plate like it looks like you made a dent.
Ooh, that's like, an
yeah,
art.
I'm full.
That's an art. Kids learn that real early.
Yeah. Knocks them on the floor, hope there's a dog.
Mm-hmm. Never eat the last piece of something you didn't buy.
Definitely.
Brad?
It has to be Midwest offered to you about 7 times. No, you. It's okay. It's all right. No, really, you eat it.
What if there's nobody to offer it? Let's say you're...
Are you sitting by yourself?
Let's say you're walking through the kitchen at Audiency St. Louis, and there's a cake or a pizza.
That doesn't matter.
It's there. It's the last piece.
If you're in line, you don't eat it.
No, there's no line. It's just there.
No, that's free food.
Okay, good.
That's...
Because I do that
free for all food. People put it out there. They know that you'll finish it off.
Right. Oh,
man, there's one donut left. I'm grabbing that donut.
If you're sitting at a table and you got 4 people, 6 people there, and someone buys an appetizer for the table, you don't take the last one. Unless you bought it.
I agree. Well, yeah, if you bought it.
As soon as someone takes the second last one, you snatch that thing up so fast.
This one, some of these are kind of funny. This one I think is very important. Take the blame and give the credit when it's due.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, taking the blame.
That is being a man.
That's being a man.
A good person, but definitely being a man.
That's something that is the exact opposite of your instinct. If somebody blames me for something that I feel like it wasn't really my fault, but maybe I was associated with it somehow, I've had to learn as an adult to say, I'll take responsibility, regardless of whether it was really my fault or not. Just be the one to say, all right, cool, I got it. I'll deal with it.
And it's the hardest thing to do.
It
has never gotten any easier to do it.
No. And my instinct still is to defend myself. And I've had to get to the point where I just go, it's all right. Just let it go. But then giving credit where credit is due is important, too. I think working on a team, which we do, you have to do that. You have to do it all the time. Annie?
Do you have the next question? Do you have next question done for Friday?
Oh, man. I almost wish... comedically, I could tell you no and then dance around it, but it is.
You have it done?
It's ready.
I'm proud of you.
Even yesterday when we were talking about it, I actually had half of it done.
You are really great at what you do when publicly shamed for not doing it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I thought yesterday it was
credit where credit is due.
It was more comedic to act like I hadn't done anything,
Ryan,
but I actually had done so. Look, I'll take the blame.
I never asked you if you had started it. I asked you if you had finished
it. No, I had not finished it yesterday.
It was a week and a half delinquent.
In my defense, you said it once on a Friday, and I didn't remember, and I thought you had forgotten also.
Take the blame.
You were hoping that I'd forgotten.
You're right. I need to stop defending.
Yeah,
hey,
no,
you know what? I'll take responsibility.
You literally had an idea at 12:50 p.m. yesterday that you executed at my expense at 2:38.
Yeah, that went really well. I'll take the credit for that.
Shush. Dory Murdoch next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.